When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thank you. We're the Cantina Band. If you have any requests, shout them out.
Play that same song.
All right, same song. Here we go. 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 Here we go.
Hello, welcome to the Star Wars Stuff podcast, where we talk about all things Star Wars. My name is James.
This is David.
And Joseph.
Welcome back, Joseph. So you were on a cruise, right?
Yes, I did a Disney cruise for the last week.
That's awesome.
And it was freaking fantastic.
It makes me jealous, man.
You should be. It was amazing. So I would highly recommend going on a Disney cruise to anyone who is thinking about cruising.
Well, I know that next year, like starting in January until I believe May, they're going to have the Star Wars cruises for Disney. So
yeah, I think those exclusively leave out of Florida, though.
I know.
The one I went on left out of Galveston. So
Maybe one day I'll go. But anyways, so today David has he just showed us this huge list of things he wants to talk to us about. And we recorded last week, and then as soon as we were done recording, like a lot of stuff did drop.
Yeah.
So I guess we should just get right into it. So is this Mandalorian in episode 9, or is this all episode 9? Or
it's both.
It's both. All right.
And
so
that information is all real spoiler heavy. So
all right,
you might want to save it towards the end.
Okay.
And it's some big time.
Like big time?
Not as big as you would think newsworthy, but it's probably going to happen. So like 98% sure it's going to happen. We're going to see it.
All right. So let's get into the less spoilery.
The less spoilery first.
Yeah,
yes.
Let's get into that first.
Well, in some smaller news, I guess, Island Visual Effects posted a behind-the-scenes look at the opening of Corellia, the chase sequence from Solo on YouTube. And before, they have posted other stuff in the past. It's not very long, but it is very interesting to see kind of the setup of what the city was and what was green screen, blue screen, and what was not. And I thought that was really interesting. I don't know if you've seen it, but there's a clip on there on that same channel that shows John Knoll and the other ILM artists reacting to the reactions of people watching the Rogue One teaser.
Wow.
And it's pretty awesome. It's thoroughly entertaining. I've seen it so many times.
I'll have to check that out.
Yeah.
Well, they just released, I think Joe Bag sent it to us, or somebody sent it to us, where it was the Kessel Run, where they went through and they explained how the Kessel Run was done and why they did some of the choices that they did. Have you seen that video? It's like 12 or 15 minutes long.
I haven't seen that specific video, but I have read stuff about it and how artists are really kind of given the driver's seat when it comes to designing certain things, and they just kind of get like okays and green lights for certain shots.
Yeah, some of the stuff they did, I was like, I never, like he says, you're not going to think about this particular aspect when you first watch it, but in reality, like, do you want to hear one of the things they said? Like,
yeah, absolutely.
So like when Han is flying down low to the ground, he says, if you remember in the first movie, there are three legs for the Millennium Falcon. It's on three legs when you first see it. In Empire, there's five legs. And then in this movie, at the beginning, he has five legs again. The Falcon has five legs. So what they did was they have him, when he flies down low to the ground, he takes off two of the legs. And they said, so what we're thinking is in Empire, when you see them fixing it, that they did find new legs and they repaired it. So that's how
between four and five. Interesting.
And then it's a carbon like base like rock that they're on at the very during that part when he's flying to the ground, and he kills the TIE fighter. He freezes him in carbonite, because the cockpit pops up and then all the carbon flies through there, so then the guy dies because he just gets frozen. And they said that's just, of course, leading into when Han Solo himself will be frozen in carbonite. I was like, that's amazing.
Wow, I didn't know it was that in depth. I thought it was just because the freezing aspect of space. Of space.
No, yeah. It was a freezing aspect of space, but then they also made sure like it was like carbonite on the planet itself. It was like carbon based on the planet.
So where a lot of people know that.
No, he said you're not going to know that. He goes, yeah. That's why he says for us, we wanted that to be there for that reason.
Wow. And that's pretty awesome.
I was like, that is freaking amazing.
I learned something today.
And a lot of things they did were very symbolic, and it was really cool. It was a really cool, like, there's a lot of stuff going that there's a lot of thought that went into that Kessel run that you never really think mm-hmm. about, but it was all there. So
right, I joined the 501st in August, and I joked with them that, hey, if we go do a release party, which we ended up doing, and I have a New Hope TIE pilot costume, what if I just have like giant icicles sticking off of me? They get it.
That'd be pretty fun.
And they kind of like just pause and like, oh yeah, remember that?
You're like, cool, thanks.
Yeah, that didn't happen, but we did troop Best Buy. That was my awesome. First troop ever, and yeah, it was weirdly enough, it was three A New Hope TIE pilots and one stormtrooper.
Interesting.
That's all you need, man. Yeah. Yeah. So what else we had? Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, it was awesome. Yeah,
yeah, learn something. Woo-hoo. So. I don't know if you guys saw it, but Columbia Sportswear unveiled a new limited edition
yes.
Norwegian Crew The Empire Strikes Back parka.
Yes, I saw buy. That thing.
And what's strange is that I saw this never before seen behind the scenes reel of them filming in Norway for The Empire Strikes Back, and they were all wearing that blue parka.
Yes.
It's just so funny that they just released this. And it's $500.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
One of our listeners sent me that link, and I looked at it, and for a second, I was like, oh, man, I got to get this. And I scrolled down a little bit more, and I was like, I'm kidding.
I'm good.
Yeah, but it looks amazing.
Yeah, it's the old style, but it's all new features. It's a technical high-performance jacket. It features a waterproof, breathable, and critically seam-sealed outer layer to protect against elements. And it has Omni-Heat thermal reflective lining. So, yeah, it's
pretty awesome.
It's a fancy Star Wars jacket.
It's worth $500, yeah.
And the nameplates are switchable, too.
You can
have a custom nameplate.
That's awesome.
Velcroed on, I believe. And some stores in the United States have Mark Hamill signed jackets.
What? Oh,
but yeah. Those are about $2,000.
I can imagine. Yeah. Jeez.
But all the proceeds from the sale get donated to charity.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah. That's amazing.
That's crazy, though.
But it's beautiful. Beautiful jacket.
Yeah, my brother asked me what I wanted for Christmas, and I was like, I got this jacket here. He's like, yeah, I don't think so.
Then you can never wear that jacket either if it's signed by Mark Hamill.
And then plus...
Well, the Mark Hamill one, yeah, there's no way.
And plus, no way. Us living here in Texas, we only wear it like maybe twice a year, if we're
max.
Lucky. Yeah, max, yeah.
I've worn my winter jacket once so far this year.
I haven't even put on my very thick jacket. Yeah. It hasn't even been worn that all this year. All right, anyways.
Well... Just like the last time JJ directed an episode, Kevin Smith showed up on set. Mm. He visited the set in England. And I think he was on Good Morning America, and he reported that he had never been on such huge sets in his life.
That's so cool.
And he's a director.
I can't, and he knows, like, he's friends with almost everybody in Hollywood. So he's visited multiple sets.
Well, and even some of the movies he's worked on have had huge sets, like Dogma and Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back and... You know, even the one he did with Bruce Willis. I mean, that probably wasn't the biggest of sets.
Cop out, yeah.
But the fact that he says it's probably the biggest... I think did he say sets or set? I don't know which... One of those he said it's the biggest...
I think it's sets.
Yeah, he said it's the biggest sets he's ever seen.
That's
in the
legit.
Movie. Like, ever. Like,
yeah, and he joked about signing NDAs and... Yeah, along that took.
He's one person who will have to sign NDAs, because if you say he can say whatever he wants, he will go...
He'll tell everybody.
And he'll elaborate to the point where you know exactly what's going to happen in episode 9.
He said a few other things. What else did he...
He also said that he was on set while they were filming a scene, and he couldn't believe the performance that he saw from a particular actor that's been in Star Wars films. He's saying that it's the best performance of their career.
Wow.
Jeez. I wonder who it could be, man.
I don't know. Yeah, I started thinking too. I was like, man, it could be anyone.
It could be anybody.
Yeah,
because
that whole cast, just about, with the exception of the new...
They've all been in Star Wars.
Yeah.
So it could be anybody. That
yeah, you would figure it'd be like the big three. And I think...
The OG big three or the...
No.
Ray Finn.
Daisy. John
Poe.
Oscar.
I wonder if he was talking about Mark Hamill, though, man.
It could have been Mark Hamill.
Well, yeah, it could have been him, but it also could have been Adam Driver as well.
Yeah, I'm thinking it could have, yeah, it could have been,
it's a,
could have
it's been Anthony Daisy. Daniels. I know, right?
That'd be amazing. But yeah, when I saw that video of him talking about it, and I was like, man, this is, man, he's excited for that movie.
Yeah.
Man, I think Adam Driver's going to give us a performance.
Of course he's going to give us
a performance. No, I think he's going to give us like his best.
The performance.
I think that might be the guy. Because if you think about it, I mean, what are they going to do that's different? You know they're going to do something different compared to all the other movies.
Yeah.
So is he going to have like some like dialogue or speech at the end right before he dies maybe? That.
Jeez. I don't think, but man, okay, here's my thing. Me being a like, if I were a director and I knew a friend of mine was coming in, I wouldn't bring him in on like that day. I'd bring him in on another day. I don't think he would bring him in to see that particular
like the finale of the movie.
But he's okay. Do you have the whole quote of what he also said? What Kevin Smith also said about?
No, I don't.
But he said he saw things like he says. Abrams is gonna give us an amazing, amazing finale. He says he's not holding anything back. He's bringing everything out. He saw stuff from all the movies there. Like
he said that?
Yeah, he said he saw stuff from like it was nuts. He says he knows for a fact Abrams is not holding anything back, man. He's coming out swinging.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, when I saw that interview, I just got more excited. And he said he cried when he was on the set. Like he cried.
Yeah, he always cries.
He always cries, but still.
He wakes up and he's like,
I would cry too.
It's just a beautiful morning. Like that dude is sensitive.
Yes, he is. But yeah, man.
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
Part of the reason people love him.
Man, yeah, that interview he gave and talking about the movies got me more and more excited. So.
Yes.
God.
Yeah, his story about getting on the Falcon for the first time for episode 7.
Oh.
That was
like lucky guy,
exactly man. What I would do in that situation, just cry like a baby.
Yeah.
Oh, that was awesome. What else? What else is in the wonderful news?
So big piece of big news, I think. We talked about Galaxy's Edge.
Yes.
Last podcast. But some researchers and people who are park experts,
which by the way is the most amazing like title that
that's
ever
what I
have
want to do for a living,
and like at a prestigious right. university too, if right. I'm not mistaken, like
University of Orlando or something.
But hey, come on, it's a universe. It's not like you know University of
Phoenix.
Know. Yeah, Phoenix. Phoenix. But yeah, okay.
So they're expecting 200,000 fans to show up.
Golly.
Day one. Day
200,000.
Day one. Right. That's insane.
So Disneyland can't handle
200,000
people.
No, they can't.
People.
No.
They just cannot.
No, there's no way.
That's way too many. So they're estimating that Galaxy's Edge alone holds 13,000 people.
Oh my gosh. So you could go to Disneyland, buy a ticket specifically for Galaxy's Edge and
you
never see
not,
it,
yeah.
Even if you have like a week's worth of tickets.
Jeez.
So
that's insane. That's
they hardcore. Think. So I'm thinking you have to get into Disneyland before you can access all the parks
right.
that yes. are connected to it.
Yeah. If it's
you have California like Adventure, then you have the main park, Disneyland, then you'll have Galaxy's Edge. So to be able to get in there to select which park you want to go into, it's going to be an 8 to 10 hour wait.
Oh my gosh. Is this the first day?
This is the first day.
Okay. All right.
So everyone wants to get it on the first day. So that's what's predicted. But they're also expecting that Disney's going to offer a premium pass to bypass that line. But that single ticket is going to be an add-on to the ticket you already purchased. That's going to be from $500 to $1,000.
Jeez Louise.
I'm thinking it's going to be a grand.
It has to be.
It has to be a grand.
Because what's a day pass for Disneyland going for? It's
like 180?
Yeah.
Somewhere around
it's
there?
Like right around 200, 250. Yeah. Depending on when you go, it's like 200 to 250 bucks.
So I guess the warning is not to go right when the park
no, it
opens.
Just doesn't make sense to do it
you have
right
to
away.
Wait.
Unless you live there
and have $1,200 to blow on.
Yes.
Unless you're loaded. Unless you have a bunch of time to kill.
Yeah, just
yeah,
don't.
Then I would say yeah, but otherwise, just wait a little bit.
Yeah, I'm waiting to go. I'm gonna wait. Yeah. There's no way I'm gonna go as soon as it opens up.
Mm-mm.
But yeah, when I saw those numbers, 8 to 10 hour wait, that's insane. That's like your whole day is waiting in.
Well,
line.
And even if you spend the $500 to $1,000, it's gonna be $1,000 to bypass all of that stuff. You're still probably gonna wait like 3 hours because yeah. There's gonna be other dingleberries that'll spend $1200 yeah, to get in there
more,
too,
if not more. Yeah. Just to
that's
go
just
further.
To get you in.
Yeah,
that's not that's, to
there's
ride
no
anything.
Rides. There's no. That's
so
crazy.
Yeah, there will be the max passes and fast passes, but that's going to be limited quantity.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you do successfully obtain that, you're going to wait about 3 hours to get in.
Well, and even with the fast passes and stuff, you still wait in the line.
Right.
And they're going to, dude, it's going to be nuts.
God.
Right.
It scares me.
Yeah, those max and fast passes are designed to get you ahead of line, and they're also designed for you to go and shop. But see, when you shop, they say the waits, the minimum wait's going to be 90 minutes to make your actual purchase.
Yeah.
And for the restaurants, too, inside Galaxy. 90
minutes. That's
in
insane.
The line with a physical item in your hand. So after like 20 minutes, I'd be like, I don't really need this.
Like, this is cool and all, but I just want to look around right now.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
So just wait. Just wait.
I would say the best thing to do is wait. Yeah. And not only all that,
there's more?
Also parking. Parking is probably going to be a nightmare as well. They're opening up a parking garage that holds like 6,000 vehicles.
Okay.
But that their timing might have been off. It might not be ready when
oh,
Galaxy's
no.
Edge opens.
That's bad.
So, yeah. It's
Uber.
It's a nightmare.
You got to Uber.
If you travel, Uber well, up. If you travel, get a hotel that's right there, just mm-hmm. walking distance. That's what I've always done.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's...
Dude.
And Uber's going to be a nightmare, too, because that there's a ton of people going to try that as well.
They got to do the peak pricing or whatever they do. Oh, it's going to be a nightmare, but I'm so excited for it. I'm so excited.
I would just like to go and see what it's like, how the people, because it's going to be the middle of summer. Yep. People are going to be like passing out, heat stroke, dehydration. It's going to be.
You're going to see some crazy stuff.
But here's the funny thing. Us Texans, we're going to be like, yeah, this is nothing. You know,
like, yeah. I've been to California in the summer. It's beautiful compared to here.
Yeah, I could probably. Yeah. I'd be like, this is amazing. But other people might not be.
Yeah. It always cracks me up whenever you see like people dying of heat stroke in New York in like 87 degrees.
It's not funny.
It's not funny, but it's like 87 degrees is like spring for us.
Yeah, here's my thing. People make fun of us for like bundling up when it's really cold. Like, oh, y'all don't know what winter is. It's negative 12 up in you know, Wisconsin. I'm like, yeah, but if it gets to like 80, y'all are freaking out.
At least we're not passing out at 75 degrees from heat stroke.
I was like, so back up, yeah.
And there is a little bit of precedence for it because in 2010, when the Wizarding World of Harry Potter opened, that generated 10-hour lines. Just to get into the theme park.
That's incredible. But now that's people just go in and do what you gotta do. That's amazing.
Yeah, when we went in Orlando to the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, we didn't even wait in line to get our wands. Like, we walked by a lady. She was like, do you guys want to do a wand selection ceremony thing? And we were like, yeah. We walked right into the room.
Nice.
With no wait at all.
But you can guarantee that first day.
That first day, that was probably like a 16-hour wait.
Jeez. Man.
Yeah, for D23 fan club members and annual pass holders, they might actually get to access the park before it opens.
Oh, those.
That makes me sad. That makes me.
But
really,
they also
really
pay.
Sad.
So I just like I said, I just got out of that Disney cruise, and they tried to sell you on some of the D23.
Oh, you're on a Disney cruise.
It was a Disney cruise, dude.
Wow.
They tried to sell you on some of the D23 stuff, and it's like really expensive. It's like $3,000 or something like that just to get into the club or something like that. Well, it was super expensive.
Well, maybe Disney will give us some media badges. We can go there before it all starts so we can go in there and
I doubt it.
We're podcasters, so they have to let us, right? I mean, just kidding. That's amazing though. And terrifying at the same time.
Yeah. I would say go on off peak time.
Yeah.
Preferably an American holiday, right?
Yeah.
Like a Canadian holiday would be better because,
no.
Because who's going to go there on Canada Day?
All right, so what else
it might
got?
Be a Friday or something, a typical Friday for us. So
true.
Purpose.
What else we got?
Those Star Wars Galaxy of Adventures have been released on YouTube. They're little shorts that use the same dialogue and mm-hmm. effects from the original movies. They're pretty good.
And, yeah, I enjoyed them. Yeah.
It feels like to me this is just like proving ground to release the full films this way in theaters. Because I'd go pay it. It looks cool.
It looks really cool. It's really...
It's beautiful animation, for sure.
It's so awesome and well done. And I'm watching some of those. I'm like, that's pretty tight. I know what they're going to say, but it's still freaking amazing to see it all like that.
Or they could just release it on Disney Plus. And
I'd watch it.
Kind of...
A different version of the movie.
Yeah, a different point
of view. I'm so jazzed for Disney Plus. Like, after this Disney cruise. Like, we had a station on the cruise that was just all the old Disney movies. Like, 101 Dalmatians, Lady and the Tramp, Robin Hood, like... It just would show a different, like, on a loop, basically. And I'm here in the real world again, and I don't have that. And I'm like, but I want to watch The Lion King right now. And
I want to watch Peter Pan from the old Disney movie. But now, but that Disney Plus comes out, they can do that. And, man, they could release all the movies animated that way, the Star Wars ones.
That'd be legit.
That'd be awesome. Well, what's stopping them from doing that? You know what I mean? There's nothing literally stopping them from doing that.
I think for right now, it's the Fox ownership of the original trilogy on
just
home
release
video.
Just release the prequel.
But once they buy it,
they'll
have it next year.
Yeah, true.
So that won't be an issue.
Well, they should be working on it right now, is my thing. They should be getting on that.
Well, they might. Well, I mean, this is kind of
very well could be, for all we know.
True.
Yeah. To see how many numbers they get on YouTube. I don't know if that's the specific and actual way they should go.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
With determining if they should re-release the films in that format. So.
Yeah.
But they can.
They can. Yeah, we did. Thank you. You're welcome, Star Wars fans. We just gave them all the ideas.
Copyright Star Wars Stuff Podcast.
Yeah.
Don't forget that.
Give us our cut. All right, so what else we got?
And that's pretty much all the news I got from the previous week before we hit.
And then today, right before we started recording, John Boyega just released a video on Instagram of him filming. It says working, you know, flexing his muscle, working. And there's no sound to the video, obviously, because he can't have any sound, because they want us to hear what the dialogue is. But the video, it's on his Instagram. If you haven't seen it, go check it out. And it's just him, and it's blue screen all around him, and he's spinning around in circles.
He's standing on a rotating platform.
Yeah, he's standing on a rotating platform, and he's talking as he's going around. I have no idea what that could be. Like, I have no idea what he could be doing.
Kind of reminded me like of a Senate scene or something.
Yeah.
He's on a floating platform somewhere because he was surrounded by blue screen.
Yeah, so he's in something that's spinning around that he's able
and
to.
He's surrounded by something that he's interacting with.
Yes.
So, could be anything.
Whoa, the Senate. He could be giving like a big speech to like the Senate.
The Senate
like,
that
the people
got all blowed up in...
Oh, no, like on Coruscant. Like maybe they're trying to...
The new Senate.
Or maybe he could be giving like a big speech, you know? Like he's in there, all the people around him, and he's just going in circles yelling at them. And not yelling, but I don't know, but it just looked exciting.
Yeah, I could totally see that.
This costume was cool, too.
Yeah, it looked really...
It was really nice. It wasn't the Dameron jacket.
No.
It was a black leather jacket, I want to say.
Yeah, it looked like
black pants.
It was on black. Black on black.
It's cool, man.
And Skywalker mode.
Oh yeah, I didn't think about that, but yeah, so I don't know. I even thought about maybe he's in my brain goes always to Rebels. He's in that place where Ezra was
and the time
and he's like spinning around looking around and like he's talking about like what's happening and he's able to see all these other images from like I don't know. That could be a thought.
If they bring Ezra Bridger into the main,
I would lose my mind.
I will throw up.
I'll start punching people. Like it's gonna be nuts. Like it's gonna, like you're not seeing what's happening. But yeah, that'd be amazing. All right, so now we get into the juicy part of the podcast.
You guys ready?
I think so.
I think I'm ready. Go for it.
I think I've got my butt cheeks sufficiently clenched for the spoilers that are coming.
Oh, jeez. All right, here we go.
Everyone puckered. So, a marketing presentation was given for Episode 9 and The Mandalorian. So, this is where all these leaks came from. So,
okay,
a guy or two in the past that have come through in the past with leaks that have played out and have been accurate dropped this on the internet this past week. So, for The Mandalorian, it looks like they gave away the plot.
Ooh.
Oh.
I don't know if I want you to keep going.
Oh,
are we talking like a synopsis or like...
the ending of this whole, like, is it just like what it's going to be
the reason
about?
Why the Mandalorian is doing what he's doing.
All right. But as long as it's not the ending, I think it's okay.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? Is that what we're going to...
Okay. We're okay.
I'm all like, wait, we gotta make
sure. If you do not want to hear this, skip forward.
Yeah, we'll tell you how far to skip forward. But yeah, go... Okay, go ahead.
We'll tell you.
You might just want to stop listening because this is all spoilers.
It's going to be spoilers.
Okay, yeah. All right. What do you got? All right.
So I guess play the sirens.
Yeah, these are...
Big time spoilers here. Okay, so I'll just read my notes.
Oh, boy.
So a sizzle reel of Jon Favreau talking about how he's excited delving into some of the EU for the series. So he is going to touch upon extended universe stuff.
That's awesome.
The central plot of The Mandalorian revolves around the main character and a baby.
Oh, cool.
That's amazing. I'm interested. Keep going.
So the baby is the bounty / mission to kill.
Oh my god!
Somebody's trying to kill the baby?
So, Pascal, the Mandalorian, has been given the bounty or the mission. We don't know if he's a bounty hunter or not.
To kill the baby.
Right. His quest is to kill the baby. So, in trying to kill the baby, he ends up saving it.
Well, yeah, it's a baby.
Obviously, yeah.
And... the series is about what happens from then on, making sure the baby is safe, including the Mandalorian's relationships that he makes along the way. There was a ton of artwork and stills that were shown, but of course the guy didn't really explain what he saw. So the other big thing is the Mando armor that we saw is not the armor that he's going to keep throughout. He's going to have a different set of armor.
Holy schmoly.
Yeah, he's going to have a different set of armor with upgrades added to it.
Hmm.
And mentioned several times of a very large woman character who was a Mandalorian chief is also involved. Well, immediately, I thought it was Gina Carano, but Gina Carano. Not sure.
No, they would get...
And no one mentioned her name from all the sites I went to.
So you're talking like a well-known... Like, okay, so
when you say large...
Like, do you mean like a large...
Yeah, I don't know exactly what that
means.
Is it
a bigger lady?
Yeah. Or could it mean that they're going to cast some like huge actress to play
I think
role?
They're probably going to make her big in the lens somehow, maybe like Hobbit style.
All right.
So...
Yeah. Okay.
I'm still thinking Gina Carano on that one, though.
Not me. You need someone... Like, you need somebody like a powerful actress. I'm not saying Gina's not a powerful actress, but you need a good face that people would recognize. Like, oh, this is like the big boss here.
And this part I'm about to say, it's rumored. It's not what was reported, but they're thinking that that baby is the heir to Mandalore.
And other groups are trying to kill him, so someone else can become.
So yeah, it's kind of like Anastasia / Willow type of storyline here.
See, I like that, but then I'd also like for it to be somebody we meet later. Like,
yeah, that'd be great.
But I mean, like, the moment you say baby, my head goes to Rey, but...
When you said baby, my head went to, somebody like that. Somebody who's like...
It seems like that would be way too big for...
Yeah.
For a deep... What was it?
And then plus, you know, like, the movie would come out and then... We'd watch The Mandalorian and be like, oh, we already know who this kid's... Okay, but anyways. All right. So they think it's...
But technically, they wouldn't have to say anything about The Mandalorian if Rey was a baby. Right?
Yeah, I mean, and she could not be an heir to Mandalore. She could be an heir to Skywalker legacy, the Solo legacy, to the Kenobi legacy, to...
Yeah, true.
Well, and technically... I mean, if there's a Kenobi legacy, it would be with Duchess Satine, who was from Mandalore.
Right.
Ooh.
He impregnated her there, and then...
Kept the baby secret.
They had kids.
And then grandkid, or great-granddaughter.
Ooh, that'd be pretty great. That would be
technically
nuts.
Speaking, it would be an heir to Mandalore.
Yep. And it'd be a Kenobi.
I mean, this is all super conjecture, obviously. Yeah. Okay. This is something I just thought of.
That'd be awesome. That got me excited thinking about that.
It made me want to throw up, so I might be on the right... I might be on the right track.
There we go. All right, what else?
So the other thing that leaked Sunday night after we did our last podcast was Kylo Ren's mask. Will he or won't he have a mask? Apparently he will.
Mm-hmm.
So sources have said that they saw Kylo Ren with the same mask, but the exact same mask he destroyed. He reforges it with some type of red crystalline bonding material. So you see red running through the mask.
That's awesome.
As if it were like blood or...
Eh. I like it. I mean,
I think I'll have to see it. To
yeah,
I mean, but then again, like, look what he did to his lightsaber. You know what I'm saying? So for me, it sounds like something he would do.
Right. It doesn't sound completely out of character. Yeah, but...
like he would just be like, "Cool, let me just put this back together again."
Right. People that have seen it say it gives it a very corrupted look, a little like Vader, a little bit looking kind of like Maul's like facial imprint.
Yeah. I got you.
Again. As soon as I see it, I'm sure I'll love it. But
yeah.
Until then, I kind of don't care.
Yeah, and the other big piece of news was there was an assumption that we made that Rey's lightsaber, she'd have a new weapon. So they're saying that's not true. She reforges it. She puts it back together.
Ugh.
And uses it.
Nice.
Nah. So,
nah.
Well,
I mean, we'll see. I mean, we'll see what they do.
And you'd figure they'd give her a new lightsaber to make more toys. And...
Mm-hmm. Or they just keep the whole legacy of the lightsaber, you know, in Luke. Right.
They're kind of treating it like Excalibur or something.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. And also, there's a planet or two that's either all jungle, all swamp, or a combination of the two.
Mm.
Because that's where they've been shooting, I believe, in America.
Oh, okay. They've been filming here?
I think... Well, no. It's like, where's in jungle? England.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So.
It's Naboo.
Could be.
I think they're trying to say that it's totally different planets that we've never seen before.
All right, cool. Even better.
Yeah.
I kind of would like them to go back to Naboo.
I would love for them to go back to Naboo.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Just awesome. Kind of touch on it real quick. Like, we have to figure something out.
Yeah. And also, BB-8 has a sidekick, apparently.
Oh.
Rose Tico.
Rose Tico. So, the droid is named D-O.
D-O?
D.O.
Okay.
And they've been calling it D-O on the set. And they're saying it kind of looks like Iden's ID-10 droid in Battlefront 2.
Oh. That thing was pretty cool looking,
it was super useful in Battlefront 2.
Oh yeah, like it would just stick to their back and they can go places and they'd stop and they'd fly over and do what they had to.
Unlock doors, that's awesome. Shock people.
And what was really cool was when she joins the rebellion and when Iden joins the rebellion, she paints it white and orange, and which was awesome. And then you're like, wait, that's where they got the BB-8 color from too, is from her, because she painted her droid.
Well, and orange has always been such a representative part of the rebellion.
I wonder if that's it. I wonder if that's her droid.
I don't know.
Got it.
I mean, there's no reason to say it's not. But anyways.
Yeah, the guys at Pinewood spoke about it, and they said the little droid is sort of like it has an ugly duckling idea to it. And the droid treats BB-8 as if it were his parent or his or her parent.
Hmm. Interesting.
Weird.
And is very attached to BB-8.
Interesting. Huh. I guess we'll see how that plays out.
And they also say it is like a design that they already had in the books already, and they just kind of redesigned it.
Okay.
And I think this is a big one here, the Knights of Ren.
All right, well, they won't, they, James?
They have to.
Okay.
It's not a will.
They have to show up. We have to find out something. So, yes, the Knights of Ren are going to appear, but the thing about them is that they're not just kind of force-wielding mercenaries. They actually have an array of special abilities I don't know. It sounds like it's not related to the Force or something we've never seen before.
Yeah, because when they were first introduced, I sort of, in my head, assumed they were kind of like the Inquisitors were from Rebels and stuff. Mm-hmm. Or they could have gone a totally different way, because I know they like specifically looked at one of them and he had sort of a Mandalorian-looking helmet.
Yeah.
You know, and Mandalorians are known for being hunters, fighters, things like that. So maybe that makes sense to me. I think my heart still wants them to be like more like the Inquisitors, but no force sensitivity works too, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
And something that was said that I think we all figured was that they're not really tied to the Empire or to the First Order, but they're tied to Kylo Ren. Yeah. And they listen to Kylo Ren. They only do his bidding.
I mean, yeah, just the way like they, yeah, I mean, did people think that or... I never thought that. I always
assumed Snoke had something to do with setting them up and making Kylo Ren their leader.
I think the grand assumption is that they were students from the Jedi Academy.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
Kylo. Well, because even Luke says, you know, or somebody.
Yeah, he took a handful of my students.
Yeah, he took a handful of my students, and then that's the Knights of Ren. That's them setting that up to where, who knows, maybe a big portion of the plot's going to be about the Knights of Ren. Yeah. How crazy would it be if it's called Episode 9, The Knights of Ren? Like, that would just be... amazing.
Yeah. That'd be amazing. Too dark, but
no.
Amazing.
Hell no.
Hell no.
Yeah, we were talking about it. I don't think they're going to have a title that's dark or in on a dark note.
I kind of hope. Okay, so rumor has it, man, this trailer is definitely going to happen in December of 2019. I mean, 2018. We're going to get a trailer.
I'm looking at the date.
I know. Yeah, multiple people have tweeted and wrote about it on their websites that, yeah, a trailer is rumored in a couple of weeks.
And some of them are saying it's definitely happening. It's not even rumored. Like, we will be getting a trailer, which means we're going to be getting a title here pretty soon, too.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, man.
What if they did the trailer with no title?
They might. They could.
They could just say,
there's no reason they can't.
Yeah.
I would... Did they? No, they showed the title for Force Awakens, right? Yeah, they did, because they said Star Wars, and in the middle it said Force Awakens.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, and the same with The Last Jedi, Star Wars, The Last Jedi. They have to give us a title. They have to give us something to talk about for a whole year. Come on. And December 20th, is that the release date, 2019? December 20th, 2019?
I have no idea. For Mary Poppins?
No, for Star Wars, for next year, December 19th.
Yeah, I think it's the 19th, yeah.
So that would be kind of the most ideal time to release it. That's on a Wednesday. That'd be a great time to release that trailer.
You're saying this December 19th of 2018?
They should
release it?
Mm-hmm. Exactly 1 year away.
Hey, man, I want that to happen really badly, but...
But...
I don't know if it will.
Yeah, I'm not holding my breath either, but...
I'm holding my breath.
At this point, I'll just be pleasantly surprised when it does finally happen.
Oh man, it's gonna be something. It's gonna be. I mean, if Kevin Smith is right, man, Abrams is gonna just that teaser when it's over, we're all be like, whoa.
We're all gonna be crying.
Yes.
Yeah, the thing I think helped is that the four movies that are coming out around that time, or three around Mary Poppins, have gotten really good reviews.
Mm-hmm.
So I think more people are gonna go want to watch those. And what's the best thing to do to bump up Mary Poppins box office?
Show that Star Wars trailer.
Put that trailer. They can't do Avengers anymore. They can't do Captain Marvel anymore.
They could do Spider-Man. So if they debut
Star Wars. Yeah. Well.
They could do Spider-Man trailer.
Oh, Far From Home?
Yeah, Far From Home.
Yeah.
Yeah, they could, but that's still kind of Sony as well.
Yeah, true. So, I mean, Disney should release. Yeah, Mary Poppins would be the best time to release there.
Yeah.
The Star Wars trailer. Oh, my gosh. And people will go there and watch, be like, ah, Star Wars. I'm telling you, man. Oh, I'm excited. I'm so excited. I'm like beyond excited. I got disappointed with Black Friday, but now it looks like before the year's out, we will get a teaser.
Well, I'm gonna keep my hopes low on that one.
No, man, I can't.
Because I can't handle being disappointed again.
I can't help it. I can't.
But I don't think you should feel disappointed, though, because there's no guarantee. It's just
all rumors and speculation. Yeah.
Oh, man.
So if it doesn't show up, that's fine. But I will be expecting one during the Super Bowl, though.
Yeah, if it's not up by Super Bowl Sunday, I don't know what happened in the world.
Then we are all just really disappointed.
Yeah.
Lucasfilm has lost touch. So before we end, one of our listeners messaged us, and Jake, thank you. Shout out to Jake for messaging us. And he asked us a question, and he says, I think it would be cool to hear from each of you what preferences you would have in terms of living in the Star Wars universe, era, faction, species, job/role. Like, who and where would you want to be in the whole Star Wars world if you could possibly be there?
I think we already talked about it, Naboo.
Oh, yeah, we all just said Naboo. Climate.
Yeah, I mean, it's the most Earth like yeah. of all
and
the
we're
planets.
All, we're all spoiled. Like, where, yeah. else, where else would I live besides Naboo?
Wouldn't but no, be Hoth.
Hell no, Death Hoth.
Way too cold.
I'm wearing a Hoth sweater, by the
shouldn't
way.
Shouldn't be called Hoth. Shouldn't be called Cold.
Yeah.
What a great joke.
Then Tatooine. There's no way.
There's no way in Tatooine. I would. I
we live on Tatooine already.
Yeah, so. I know, right? Why would we want
to smoggy? Well, we're probably closer to like Dagobah.
Yeah,
with the humidity.
I would not want to visit Dagobah.
No, I would visit. I don't think I would want to stay there.
But, okay, so like, where would you live, and what would your like? What era? What era? Like,
oh,
obviously
man.
For me, it's pre-rebellion because like that's when everyone was kind of happy and no one was really fighting each other.
It's kind of like America right now.
Yeah. But I wouldn't want to be like in the rebellion. That would just be too dark, you know. People die and stuff, you know. Like,
yeah, the Cassian Andor Disney Plus series.
I just have a bad feeling that like no matter like if I did get somehow magically transported in the Star Wars universe, I would still work at a grocery store on some planet.
You know what I mean? No matter what I do.
No matter what, I'm meant to be a service manager of some planet.
I would. I think I'd want to be a pilot. Like I just want to fly an X-wing or a Naboo starfighter. Most likely not Naboo Starfighter, but
be a navigator on a spice freighter.
I would like if there's like a game or a role playing game with Star Wars. I always like playing the like the smuggler class.
Oh, okay.
So those are always. I mean,
so
but,
you'd want to be a kind of a jerk.
Yeah, you know.
Okay, fair enough. But yeah, that would be now. I'd want to be like a Naboo star pilot and just like fly around. Just that'd be amazing.
Coruscant would be pretty tight to live on.
Coruscant would be amazing. Would you want to live in the building or would you want to live on the deep
no,
floor?
Definitely not the sub.
On 1313?
No.
Dealing with the huts.
So or who... Ezra's planet. I can't think of it.
Oh my gosh, what the name is? What is the name? T?
Loth. No. Loth. Not Loth.
Lothal?
Lothal.
Lothal,
thank you.
Jeez. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Lothal's pretty nice. They've got cool animals.
Got those cool cats.
Like cool Loth cat. Or yeah, Loth cats. Yeah.
I'd want to hang out with a like, Loth cat.
I think Lothal for me.
I'd want to go to...
Empire
takeover.
Governor Price.
Yeah.
Selling it to the Empire.
What about Octu? Just chill on an island with a bunch of nuns.
It's a bunch of nuns.
Sounds like paradise.
I know, right? But no, like for me, pre-rebellion, Naboo, I'd want to be a starfighter. I mean, I don't think I'm cool enough to be a Jedi as much as I want to be.
No, I'd love to be a Jedi, but again,
I don't think I could do it.
I don't think I would be lucky enough to be blessed with the Force that way.
Yeah, me neither. What about you?
Like I said, Naboo.
As what?
Chill out as myself.
It'd also be cool to like work at Maz's castle.
Oh, yeah. That would be pretty cool, right, man.
I think that's my answer.
I don't know, man. That'd be kind of dangerous.
Why?
It's like Maz... For the most part, up until that one scene in The Force Awakens, yeah. Maz's castle was Switzerland.
Yeah.
And you got Maz there.
And like, Maz Kanaz,
no one's going to mess with you if you work with Maz. Like, if she says, all right, I'll take care of you, she's going to take care of you.
Yeah. So
that's a
I think that's my answer.
There you go. That's a good answer.
I'd be a bartender at Maz's castle.
Damn.
I don't know. I still stick with Naboo.
All right, me too. But hopefully, indeed. Jake, that answered. Hopefully, you enjoyed that conversation there, Jake. And thank you for giving us that. And if you want to message us, just go to our Star Wars Stuff Podcast Facebook page. You can message us there. You can email us at Star Wars Stuff Podcast at Gmail. @gmail.com. And then Instagram message us. We'll listen. We'll be there. We'll respond. And yeah, thank you for listening to this week's episode. And David bought us some really cool gifts here.
Yes.
Black Series. Darth Vader. It's awesome. So
boarding the Tantive IV.
With a lightsaber, though, so I'm a little... But it's still pretty cool, though.
It's awesome. Regardless.
It's awesome. Yeah, no matter what. So thank you for that, for our awesome little Christmas gifts. And, yeah, so just tune in next week for another awesome topic, and may the Force be with you.
Always.
Pew, 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 pew.